You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
That you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some, and right now I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright, but right now I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing a little faith is all I have right now. God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be I know. of my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We hope it is well with your soul today. And even if you're in the fire, even if you're in a hard time, you know, God is still faithful through it. And I'm playing that song because we had the privilege of going last night to see the screening of I Can Only Imagine 2. And for those of you that saw the original movie, you know, it was really heartrending and heartfelt and really powerful. And so the second one is coming out. It'll be in theaters on February 20th. So we'll talk about this in a little bit of a minute. But I just want to introduce Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning. And I didn't see the screening, so I am going to be partaking in this.
All right.
And I'm excited.
Amen. And Deanne Diaz.
Good morning, everyone.
Who? Deanne and I went to see the movie.
Yes, we did see it. And, oh my gosh, it was amazing.
And, you know, sometimes you just got to see a movie.
Mm.
You just got to get away from everything so that you can really see that mm-hmm. God, how God moves in people's lives.
Amen.
And it's just so amazing. So we went down to the theater in Palm Beach Gardens at downtown at the Gardens for this screening and the pre-screening for the movie, which will be in the theaters again on February 20th. And the movie, of course, is from Mercy Me, the group. And it says here in the brochure that some stories deserve an encore. After the breakout success of the song, I Can Only Imagine, which I think was like 20 years ago, wasn't it? Is it that?
The original song?
Yeah, I Can Only Imagine.
That came out, that went number one in 2001.
I mean, it feels like it was just a couple of years ago, doesn't it?
25 years ago, but it was 2001.
Right.
And they made the movie, I Can Only Imagine, was 2018.
Right. Anyway, after the breakout success of the song, I Can Only Imagine, Mercy Me's Bart Millard has it all until fame starts to cost him what matters most. Mm. When hopeful newcomer Tim Timmons joins the band for the biggest tour yet, he unknowingly brings a renewed gratitude to Bart's life. Based on the true story behind the hit single, Even If, which is what I just played, I Can Only Imagine is the inspiring next chapter of faith, family, and finding God in the fire. And I just want to cry because, it was just such a wonderful movie. The first movie was wonderful, and this one is just as powerful. And the producer of the movie, where is her name?
Cindy. I think Cindy Bond. Cindy Bond?
No, the lady that was there talking with Sam.
Her name is Cindy.
Cindy.
Her name is Cindy. I don't know her
Cindy,
last name.
Cindy. Okay, so Cindy, the producer of the movie, she said that after the, I Can Only Imagine, the first movie came out, I think it was about 3 or 4 years later, she said she had an epiphany about the song Even If. And so it took quite a bit of time to kind of have all the pieces get put together. So, you know, this was birthed all those several years ago. And I can't tell you how great it was, Deanne. You have to fill in the blanks that I don't have.
Well, the amazing thing is that it was true.
Yes.
It was real life people. It was the true story. And that's what really touched me.
Mm-hmm.
Because my goodness, mm-hmm. would you ever imagine that successful people, Christian believers, loving God, you know, what they endure, what they go through, the trials, the troubles, you never know what's going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of want to get into that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What we see on the outside,
yes.
it's a facade. Mm-hmm. Just like when you look at Facebook or social media platforms, like people give you their best, like they, oh, this, and you know, they, mm-hmm. they shine and they want to make a, paint a pretty picture right. of their life. But my God, you never know what people are going through.
No. So, you know, if we recall in the original movie that he, you know, Dennis Quaid played his father, and he was kind of a jerk, you know, and they didn't have any kind of relationship, and it was very hard. And, you know, until they were reconciled right at the end before the father died. And, but so where this movie picks up is, you know, they go back a little bit. They go back 10 years prior. That's how the opening scene, they go back the 10 years after the father died. And then the, he's kind of, you know, just kind of living life. And so they go on tour again, and you know, one of their bandmates, I don't know what the story was with that, but they have this new guy, Tim Timmons, who is going to be opening up for them. And so then Tim, you know, has been reading. And we're going to just tell you what we saw.
Don't tell it all.
Not yeah. all of it.
We want people to go see it.
Right. Yes. So he had been, you know, you can tell by the song, you know, when he's talk at way at the end of the song where it says "It is well with my soul." He had been reading about the author of the hymn "It is well with my soul."
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, which is you know, with the fire and everything, and he sent his family off to go overseas, I guess, to mm-hmm. England, and then the whole family perished.
Yep.
And that is how that song was birthed.
Yes.
"It is well with my soul," that that hymn. So this Timmons is reading that, but he also has a song that he's writing. And basically, he said, "I can write it, but Bart needs to sing it because he can't sing."
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was the picture in the movie of mm-hmm. how we need each mm-hmm. other. And each of us has a purpose in the body of Christ. And how you have to work with people.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was like the working out of how the song finally came.
Wow.
It was just, oh, it was just unbelievable. Mm. And I love this song anyway. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always loved this song. It's true. But just seeing the Holy Spirit work. And that's when, if we yield to him,
mm-hmm.
if we are willing to yield and seek and just keep that attitude of gratitude. That's a big theme in the movie, is gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Those that have it and those that don't, you know, outweighing the grief and the gratitude and trying to balance both in life. You know, the bittersweet, it's like, my goodness, how do I stay in this gratitude and thanksgiving and praising of God, which I want to do. I love him. But over here, I'm so grieved. I'm going through this and I'm sad and I'm disappointed and I'm discouraged. And, you know, it's like, how do we find that balance? How mm-hmm. do we come before God and give him the grief and still give him praise?
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And yeah, and you can you feel that throughout the movie, you know, those things, because, you know, the song even says, you know, well, my take on it is, God, whether you do anything or not, I'm still going to trust
you. That's right.
And that's really the bottom line as believers, you know, when our hope and our trust is in him, no matter what, whether the times are good, whether the times are bad,
that's
really, like, until we resolve ourselves to just accept that that's the way life is.
Yeah.
And, you know, my favorite word, vicissitudes, you know, with all the ups and downs of life, you know, the whole thing is having trust in God and knowing that he is the one that has it all planned out and we can just get in line with him. But let me want to interject here. So they're saying here that if you want to host your own screening of the movie, if you're a pastor or a church leader, if you have a group, maybe you've got a youth group, you can reserve the theater and have a screening. I think you need about 100 people. And you can take your group to see the movie early before the release date. And I think Stan said it was on the 15th of February. So if you want to rent the theater, you know, you'll have to, I'll give you his info if you want to do that. But you can take your group to see the movie early before the release date. You can choose your own date and time for the screening. Mm. And you can enjoy the experience of a private theater just for your group. The buyouts typically range from $1,500 to $3,000. And we can give you this information on this form. You know, if you want to call here, I can either give you the form or give you the info about it if you want to do a screening. And I would highly recommend it before it gets into the theaters. And but I would still go to it. I'm going to go to it again when it comes out.
Yes.
You know, probably more than once, too. And, yeah, so for, let's see. If you go to ICanOnlyImagine.com, you can find out more info about that as well. And let's see, what else do they have here? Yeah, you can just sign up for more info about the movie. That's it. So what else, Deanne, do you want to? Amen. Well, praise God.
Praise the Lord.
So Nanette, do you need to know anything else?
I really want to go see it, and I want to just embrace the not knowing.
Okay.
But when Deanne was sharing how the movie overall reminds us the living in between, you know. It's such a hard place, but when we have a personal relationship with Christ in us really causes us to get to that place, just like Jesus was in that place in Gethsemane, where he embraced God's will, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I can just recall so many times in my life that it was marked by that, marked with him getting me to that place to say those words and to also say, no matter what happens, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to love you, you know? And, you know, just what came to mind was one day when I was in the vehicle and they had called me from the NICU and, you know, they had said to us that, you know, our daughter wasn't doing well and they didn't know if she was going to make it that night. Mm. And so I had just left the hospital. I only had time enough to take a shower and eat something and go back. And thank God we only live like 15 minutes away, you know, on I-95. So we would go from Hypolexo to Woolbright. And so that was quick and easy, but I'm exhausted and, you know, I get back in the car and I'm rushing and I can't even hold back the tears. And it just made me feel like that's part of the oil, right? That's produced in our life. You know, those moments that we choose to praise him, that we choose to love him, that we choose to say no matter what or who abandons us, leaves our life, the losses, I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to love you. And so I'm getting off the exit and I'm saying those words. And it's so scary at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's like the words have to go out because I feel like they're safeguards. I feel like it becomes like a shield around you to keep you with the Father,
mm-hmm. Yes.
To keep you with the Son, to keep you with the Holy Spirit. And so I'm saying these words and I'm like, oh my goodness. At the same time, I'm saying, wow, if I lose her, like, you know, like it was just so intense at that moment. But he got me to that place, you know, and thankfully, you know, she remained with us time and time again, but it was like ongoing. And, you know, before that, you know, when, you know, our marriage, you know, almost ended, it was like, again, I could picture myself in these moments where the oil is being produced, where you're like there. I mean, I'm picturing lots and lots of moments where I chose to stand and say, but if all of this happens, if this is the end of those things, I'm going to still live for you. And I'm sure you and Karen, both of you can relate, and you can see those moments where he got us to continue to move forward with him no matter what.
Amen.
And yeah, those stories have to be said.
Yes. That's why our testimony, I mean, yeah, they made a movies of his life testimony, but that's why there's such power in the testimony. And we have to remember, like like David, I want to see David too. It's not really a child's animated movie. Phil Wickham, Phil Wickham is the voice of David, and he sings. It's a very powerful movie, and I'm going to go see an animated movie. But like David, you know what he went through, and how he, you know, he continued to praise the Lord. I lost my train of thought. Sorry, I got off on David the movie. But you were saying, you know, when he was under fire and everything that was going on, and you know, he remembered. That's what it was. He remembered his testimony. He remembered. Right. God gave me the bear. God gave me the lion, and God's going to give me this Philistine giant. Like that's we have to remember, and we have to, you know, stand on that, and we have to connect with that. And that's why the word says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You know, when we testify to others, and usually your mess and your message is your ministry. I mean, everything I've gone through in my life and the three ministries that I've worked for, volunteered for, whatever, that was me sharing how I overcame, how God brought me through, how God saved me and gave me victory. You know, that is where we have power to testify of the Lord, and we can share that with others going through that same thing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. It's the power of our words.
Yes.
You know, when we know who God is, when we know his word, what he says, and what we possess. You know, we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son.
That's right.
So we live in a kingdom of light. We live in a kingdom that's already established and set up. And, you know, so we've got to learn the ways of the kingdom through the word of God and through that relationship with him. And it comes through spending that time with him, which we always talk about on this program, is the intimacy with him, and where he is first and foremost over everything. And until he becomes everything to you, then it, you know, it's, there's difficulties. I mean, we're going to have difficulties in life anyway, but they're more difficult when we're not trusting him and relying upon him. And when we, you know, when we continually go to other people to try to help us instead of going to the Lord, you know, yes, we need people, we need friends, we need people to pray for us.
Right.
But he needs to always be first. And I, that's the whole thing is, you know, can you just really get there? I just think of my own life with, you know, all the years when I was have been seeking after him and did not have people that I could call, you know, because we've lived in a lot of different places and I didn't have a lot of friends. And, you know, the Lord purposely did that, you know, so that I could really learn to trust in him, learn his word, and really learn to hear his voice speaking into my life. And yeah, it's pretty amazing. He's pretty amazing. And he just has such a great plan for each one of us. And if we would only yield to his counsel, yield to his word, yield to the, you know, the still small voice, And we won't hear the still small voice if we're listening to other people and,
Amen.
You know, trying to do things our own way. Trust me, I've learned.
Amen.
I've learned by doing.
Yeah, yeah, we have learned. And, you know, the Word of God calls those wilderness times. We know Moses was taken, he fled, and he got led him in the wilderness, and he stayed there. Was it 40 years? I don't know, 40 years?
Yeah.
Until he was ready. God had to do that work in him. But during, you know, during those wilderness times, it really is us coming to know intimately our Creator, our Abba Father, Sovereign Create, Lord of all. And that way, whenever we do, when we come through and we know for sure we are rooted and we're grounded and we're planted and we're not going to be moved. And that's really what it does. It solidifies. I think Nanette said that it solidifies your faith and your trust and your walk with the Lord. No matter if you're going through the fire, you're going through the storm, you're going through the pain, suffering. And they mentioned that in the movie last night. You know, when you long suffer, what does suffering, long suffering bring forth? God uses everything for good. He doesn't cause it. He doesn't do it. He's only good things come from him. But even like with Job, I don't even know how to pronounce it. but look what Job went through. I mean, he lost everything. And what, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, his wife told him, curse God and die. No, he refused. He refused to let anything take his praise and his worship of his God. That's how stable he was, that he knew his God. And as you were talking, this song, it's an older song, but it was 2004, You Are God Alone by Phillips Craig and Dean. If I can just read a couple stanzas from here. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give. By your plan, that's just the way it is. And then it's, you are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and the bad, you're still on the throne, God. You're still on the throne. And it says, you're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You're the God, and that's just the way it is. In the very end, it's unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. Hallelujah. That's who you are, and that's where we have to trust. Don't question, surrender, and seek. And as we're doing that right thing, I know someone right now that's been through trial after trial after trial and destitute, selling blood and plasma to get money for food. That's where they are. Me, of course, I just want to give them money. But we can't. We have to let God do what God is doing. And through that, it's like, nothing is going to move me. Nothing is going to shake me. Nothing is going to steal my relationship with God. And talking about, you know, I feel like this is the time. This is the time of God preparing me for my ministry, for what's to come, for what I've been prophesied over for 20 years now. And that, you know, and that two words came to my mind was overdue and past due. But immediately the Holy Spirit corrected my thought. He said, no. Due season.
That's right.
God has a due season.
Amen.
And it may seem like God's late. It may seem like, you know, he forgot us.
Hallelujah.
He canceled our calling. He canceled our anointing. That is not true. The gifts and talents, the calling of God is without repentance. And when I said that past due, overdue, God said, no, due season. God's timing is perfect, and there is a due season. God already knows all of our days before we live them. They're already written in his book in heaven. So trust God.
Amen. You know, in Deuteronomy 8:2 says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this scripture became real to me, you know, many years ago. And, you know, because when you're in the midst of it, and, you know, you're like, you know, is this ever going to end? And, you know, when you realize that God is working all things in you for his good, for your good, and that he sees the end from the beginning, and there is an end to the season that you're in. There is an end to the suffering. There is an end to the trials. And he will bring it out in due time, in due time, and in due season. But he's, we had talked last week, like during that in-between time, that he's forging you. He's building you. And if you've been in the military, you know the conditioning. You know, we had to do the physical training daily. Physical training every day. You know, at first, I couldn't run 20 feet, you know, but each day I would just do a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And then before you know it, you're doing other things. You're on to more things. But it's the strengthening. It's the daily strengthening that gets you to the place where the Lord has for you. I think we're going to take a break right now. And we will be back in just a minute, a couple of minutes.
Set a fire inside me, a holy flame now burning, purified to make me holy.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Okay, we're back. And I was just reading out of Deuteronomy 8:2. I just wanted to check this one thing in the my Bible app, which gives you the Hebrew. So let's see, because it's got highlighted here, in your heart. He's led you in the wilderness those 40 years that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. So in your heart, it says, I don't know how to pronounce that Hebrew word. In your heart is the inner man, the mind, the will, the heart, the soul, and the understanding. It's the inner part, the midst, the heart of man, the soul of man, the mind, the knowledge, the thinking, the reflection, the memory, the inclination, the resolution, determination of will, the conscience, the heart of moral character. The heart is the seat of appetites, as the seat of emotions and passions, and as the seat of courage. Wow, it's all developed in there, in our hearts.
Wow, yeah. praise God. Well, as you were reading that scripture before, Karen, God reminded me of a little bit that he was speaking to me about the heart as I'm seeking him fervently every morning, trying to be disciplined. That was what God told me for this year. You overcome to victory by consistency, by commitment and consistency. And sometimes I lack in those areas. I'm a little free-spirited and not structured like Karen. It's harder for me to stay on track and be disciplined and structured and be committed. Can you relate, Nanette?
I'm the in-between. See, this is why I'm with these ladies, because I'm in the in-between them. I'm in the middle.
I have my moments, though.
Yeah.
Free-spirited moments.
Yeah. So God was just saying, he was telling me, he's like, God knows by the heart of the man who are his sons, daughters, and covenant people. A person can say to themselves and others who they are, what they're doing, where they're going, to convince themselves and others. But God knows the true intentions and motives of every heart. Mm. We can't fool or persuade him. Our actions and decisions that we make every day reveal the true inner man.
Mm-hmm.
And really last night in the movie, I was seeing like the heart, like people on the outside, like even 1 Samuel 16:7, we know that's about Samuel. They were looking for the king. They were looking for the next one that was going to be the king. And he was saying, I'm so sorry, I should have had that scripture up. 1 Samuel 16.
So, yeah, you know, they're going through all the brothers and
exactly
checking.
16 and verse 7. So it says, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. So he was saying, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So we may look at the outer appearance of a person. We may even go by what the person is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot in the movie last night, the attitude, the behavior, the, you know, the anger, you know, whatever's going on,
right.
There's always a root. And that's from Matthew 12:34. It says, out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's coming out of a person's mouth, we may not understand that, but there's something going on in their heart. When, you know, wounds, scars, abuse, molestation, I mean, pain, suffering, we don't know. Only God knows what's going on in that heart. And that's where Proverbs 24:23 says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. So my petition and cry to the Lord is, God, create in me a clean heart. I want my heart to be clean and pure and free from unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to remember, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Like, who, over and over and over and over, whoever it is in your life, even if it's not a person, God was even showing me this yesterday, even if it's not a person, if it's a political party, if it's a governmental system, if it's a nation, if it's a people group, examine your heart. That's what God wants us to examine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Your heart. Because if we don't examine our heart, examine your heart. Ask God to reveal anything not aligning with and obeying his holy word. We cannot justify or excuse our choices that deviate from his instruction and commands. He made us, and there are guidelines for our well-being, our existence, and our purpose. We have to examine our hearts, because forgive. I don't want any anger in my heart, bitterness in my heart, resentment, hatred, even strife, envy, jealousy, shame, guilt, whatever's in our heart, that's our, like you just read, that's our life. That's the center of our being, our inner being. Mm-hmm. Like we have to guard it. We have to protect it, but we have to make sure it's clean, clean before God. Because even when the people were coming before Jesus, somebody was doing a teaching on that last week, right? He said, depart from me, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. And they said, but we did this and this and this and all the works. And but he said, your heart was far from me. Mm-hmm. So God looks at heart, not at your works, not at your self-righteousness, not at your what you're proud of in your life. I mean, those things are all good. But the bottom line, God looks at the heart.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. And what, you know. When you mention that, Deanne, I go back to that place where the scriptures say, love me with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. I mean, again, you're seeing the emotions, right? Our will, all of that. Like when we say that, people say that so casually. But are you really loving him with your whole mind? Are you really loving him with all your heart? Like, is there any room for anybody else? Do you even love somebody else more than God? You know what I mean? Like, you'd go through the steps, like you say, just checking, you know, checking, where am I in this heart? Where am I in this mind? Where am I with my life concerning how much love? Do I love him that way? You know, because the bottom line is going to be seen. It's going to be seen in our life and how we respond, like you said, in those areas. Politically.
True.
I never
looked at it.
All of it.
Through that lens. Yeah. God, Holy Spirit just showed me that yesterday. Yeah. It's not just people. Can be other things. Yes. Groups.
Yes. Yes. And we have, oh gosh, we get dirty all the time. We do. We get dirty all the time. And thank you that his grace and the conviction that comes upon us is our friend, you know, that we can come to him and say, oh God, wash me clean again. Cleanse my heart. Teach me how to love you. Teach me how to love you even in this area. Teach me how to love you in my response. Teach me how to love you in my giving. Teach me how to love you so I can love this unlovable person. Teach me how to love you, you know, when you know, even this person or whatever is doing wrong all the time or has something against me all the time. It's just, yeah, we need his love. We need to love him more.
Amen. And we need to know his word in order to love him. That's right. And we need to know that he loves us. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something that's really bugging me as of late. And it's, you know, it's always on social media. And of course, you know, the Lord's dealing with me about stuff. So whenever I say things, I'm dealing with it. So the, you know, I was harping on the guys that were grumbling about other people, you know, the people that are calling out false prophets. So now they're after the worship music. Now there's a whole host of people that think that songs from certain groups should not be sung in church. And they, you know, because whatever, it's just stupid. It's stupidness. Other believers, you know, on social media, which is, you don't know where that's going. You don't know who's reading it. You don't know. I mean, you could be saying something and there's somebody in, you know, the jungles of South America that are like reading stuff. Mm-hmm. And anyway, when you speak negative about people, that connects easier than when you say nice things about people.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to take a negative. But anyway, about this, the music and stuff, it's just really bothering me because the word says for us to build each other up and encourage one another, even more so as we see the day approaching. Yes. And I think that that's what the thing is that the bottom line for me is that we need to encourage one another, mm-hmm. whether we agree with the way that you do things, whether we agree with your political views, that it's irrelevant. The fact mm-hmm. of the matter is that those of us in the body of Christ need to be lifting each other up. Mm-hmm. And the old adage that if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, because our words are carrying power. And, I'm just seeing all these conflicts, that, you know, and it's words that are causing conflicts. Yeah. And it's people spewing what they want to say. They want to get their word out there. They want to be right.
And that's where we go wrong.
Exactly. So,
Opinions are carnal.
Correct.
So whenever we have an opinion and we're speaking from the basis of opinion, that's when we fall short and we create all of this. This is what we're producing in social media. Mm-hmm. When, like you said, know the word, get into the word, and just speak the word.
Right.
Speak the words of Jesus. That's it. You know, unless the opinion is on the basis of the word, you know what I mean? I can understand that. But I think there's too many opinions. And, you know, there's just a lot of bottom line, a lot of junk. In social media. Mm-hmm. And most of it is, sad to say, it's fabricated. It's lies. Mm-hmm. And man, that's terrible.
Twisted lies.
Like I saw, I think it was last night. I don't even know if this is true or something about Erica, you know, Charlie Kirk's wife, you know, something about her heart or having some kind of cardiac, something going wrong. And I was like, what? Because something that she was speaking with, I have no idea. I mean, I just closed it right away because I was like, is that even true? Is that even like true information?
Right. But somebody will take that. Another believer will take that and just start running with it without having any knowledge.
And I was like, here again, this false information, mm-hmm. you know, this creating, you know, propaganda, you know, mm-hmm. this false narrative. And I don't get me wrong, I love how social media connects us. I love mm-hmm. how there's good things and there's truth. But man, it's getting to be dangerous.
It's like a cesspool.
Yes.
Yeah. And like we were talking about last night, Karen, sometimes now, I mean, we don't even know if it's real or if it's AI.
Right.
That's another thing.
I mean, you watch these things. Is this real or is this an AI generated mm-hmm. video? It looks like a real child, a real person or whatever. Yeah. It really cannot be trusted.
No.
And this is where if it doesn't line up with the word of God, mm-hmm. right. people of God, this is why we must know the scriptures. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, mm-hmm. not relying on man. We can't just rely on man to inform us or teach us. We have to look for ourselves. So we know the Bible says anything opposition or contrary to God, if it's strife, mm-hmm. division, contention, quarreling, blaspheming, defamation of character, you know, if we're talking about people and gossiping. I mean, all of that is against the word of God. So mm-hmm. why are we partaking in that? And why are we listening to it? Whether we're doing it or whether we're listening, we're condoning it if we're listening. And we know the word says that you know, whether it's a word from a person, from God or whatever, but things should be confirmed, right? God confirms.
Right.
Yes. I know usually if God's trying to tell me something, I'll get it from two or three different outlets, the TV, the Christian TV or the radio or something I'm reading or something someone speak to me. When God's trying to tell me something, he confirms it two or three times. I always know, okay, God, I get it. This is the point you're trying to drill to me. We need to make sure that we are verifying and that we know what is true and what is not. That's where we have to make sure we're dividing between the flesh and the spirit, right? Getting back to walking. You were talking about walking. In love? Are you talking about love? We are to walk in the spirit. Mm-hmm. We're to walk in the light. And we're to walk in love. Yeah. The word of God instructs us to do that. That is our walk. That is our Christian walk with Christ, to glorify him, to represent him, to be his ambassadors. And we know the Bible says love overcomes a multitude of sin, mm-hmm. right? So we all sin and fall short. There's going to be times we get a fact wrong or information wrong, speak out a term, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. But love overcomes that. Love doesn't, we know Corinthians 13, but love overcomes that. Our words are to give grace to the hearer. Yeah. Always build up, not tear down. Out of our mouth, blessing and cursing, I mean, it should not be death and life and the power of the tongue. Mm-hmm. So put that guard on your lips, put the bridle on your tongues, and make sure you're honoring. We have to make sure we're honoring the Lord and representing mm-hmm. our Savior, our Redeemer at all times, mm-hmm. especially in our own mission. Ministry? Ministry starts at home.
Mm-hmm. And then what was that scripture? You know, when words are many, sin is not absent.
Mm.
You know, so when you're hearing yak, 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 yak. Even within ourselves.
Oh, gosh, that, you know, I used to go a little further with that because I've always been, you know, especially like when we get together, we can go on talking and it's like, man, well, is being a talkative person like a bad thing? Like, you know, you start, maybe I shouldn't speak at all. But yeah.
But it is only when you know, when you want to be the only one talking mm-hmm. and not let anybody else get a word in edgewise. My husband the other day said he talked with his former boss from when we were down in Turks and Caicos. He said, yeah, you know, we were on the phone for like an hour and a half. And I said, well, were you able to get a word in edgewise?
Yeah.
So he sent me back that laughing emoji because I knew that mm-hmm. he was listening and the other guy was doing all the talking.
Mm.
So, yeah.
But I was thinking, even in the movie last night, Bart's wife, there's one scene where they're struggling with the situation and he said something and she said, no, that's not true. Like what Bart was saying. Mm-mm. She's like, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
And she walked away and she said, you know, she said, I pray for you every day. I know who you are. I know your mm-hmm. heart and I want the real Bart to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's love.
Right.
She loved him through his troubles. And she was praying for him. And that's what the word tells us to do. We don't need to try. And we can't take it personal. That keeps coming up too in my life. I don't know about you ladies. Don't
yep.
take it personal. Don't take it personal. You know, iron sharpening iron. There's times even with our you know, Karen, Annette, scene, you know, our Christian brothers and sisters that are closest to us, or even maybe those in authority, our pastors or leaders or whatever. There may be times when they're correcting us and they're rebuking us and they're giving us some wisdom and some truth. Maybe we don't like it and it's rubbing us the wrong way. But you know what? Love, that's what love does.
Amen.
Love, we have to
Very true.
Receive that. We have to speak the truth in love. But that's what she was doing. She was loving her husband through that situation and she was speaking life to him and she was telling him where she was. But she didn't take it personal. That's what we can't take it personal when we're corrected or rebuked or, you know, spoken something to us. We don't like it. We need to be humble ourselves mm-hmm. and we need to not take it personal. We need to take it to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, is this biblical? And that was the example God gave me, somebody I was praying with early in the week. I told her, don't take it personal. Mm-hmm. It's biblical. If I'm giving you Bible, if I'm giving you truths of the word, don't take what I'm telling you personal. Mm-hmm. Don't get offended, mm-hmm. right? That spirit of offense. Don't get offended because mm-hmm. you're going to miss what God's trying to do in your
Dangerous.
Life and in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I do like that part of the movie because she didn't try to fix him.
No, she didn't.
She just said it
mm-hmm.
and then walked away.
Walked away. Let mm-hmm. it just let the Holy Spirit take over from there.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and we learn that by the time we spend with the Lord, you know, about like Deanne, you've been talking about, you know, zipping our lip, you know, keeping quiet about things, you know, because everybody wants to tell everybody else what to do. Mm. And that, you know, almost as if, because we don't want to do what the Lord's telling us, we want to tell other people. Mm. I'm not, I know I'm guilty of that mm-hmm. a lot. It's easy to tell people, other people what to do and how they should behave.
Right. Right. Where, what's the scripture before you talk about the other person? Take the log out of your own eye.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're trying to remove the speck in someone's eyes and right. you have the a big log, old log in your
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
That's right. And that's where many times, and the Lord taught me this through Rejoice Marriage Ministries, Lord, change me first. Mm. Yeah, maybe there's lots of problems with your spouse, lots of sin, lots of things going on, but you know what? You pray for them and you place them on the altar before God, whomever it may be in your life. But then you step back and you say, Lord, change me. You can't change anyone, but you can. It's between you and God to change yourself, because when you stand before him, he's not going to, you don't have to answer for anybody else around you. Mm-hmm. And he's not, you can't say, oh, well, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. He said, no, you're accountable for yourself and mm-hmm. yourself only. And you're going to stand before him for yourself. So Lord, change me, change me.
Amen. Amen. So we've got, well, 3 or 4 minutes left. So Nanette, what words of wisdom do you have for us today? I know there's something in there.
You have some miracles that happen with Grandpa.
Oh, man. Yes, yes, yes. The Lord had him overcome a hip surgery, and he's 94 years old. And not in the best shape. And he also, you know, battles with dementia. And so, but, you know, I was in that place of just praying, God, your will be done. And I settled myself in that. And so I know his work was at play. And so he overcame that. And, you know, we may not understand why even afterwards, when a miracle is done, it could still be so hard, still be in that place of hard, you know, where now my, you know, my grandfather, he has these metal plates and bolts in his hip, and he wasn't moving as often or strong enough to stand and walk on his own and even with a walker. And so now he's not even ready to even do that. Mm-hmm. And so, right, it's those seasons in life where those moments like, You don't want to question God, or you don't want to say like, oh gosh, how is this working? You know, like, wow, how is this going to play out? And it doesn't look like a happy ending mm-hmm. for many. So yeah, my words of wisdom is, again, we have to trust God, and that he, again, works all things yes. for the good of those who love him.
Yes.
And that in that he's going to meet Grandpa, in that he's going to meet Grandma. He's going to, mm-hmm. he's working, mm-hmm. like you said, behind the scenes, even though we don't see it, and his ways are not our ways. And so, but to trust that he is at work, and there is a better end than we even thought mm-hmm. for yes. everyone involved.
Yes.
Amen.
And so.
Amen.
Amen.
Get well, Grandpa.
Yes. Yeah. Get well.
Amen. And our brother Sean's not here today because he's dealing with that, whatever the bug or whatever it is going on. So, you know, we just lift up all those that are dealing with that.
Yes.
And Deanna, I know you just came through a couple of weeks of it.
3 weeks. My goodness. I still have some congestion, and I take all the natural stuff and mm-hmm. do the right things. And it's been a battle.
Right.
It's been a battle. But the Lord is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He is. And we just pray for all those that are dealing with it.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're sick, stay home so that you don't pass it on to somebody else. And but we just pray for those that are right in the midst of it.
Yes.
That God will touch you.
Healing.
And
yes.
That from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, that he'll bring that deliverance to you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that he was wounded for our transgressions.
Yes.
He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we decree and declare it today
yes.
over all those that are sick in their bodies or sick in their hearts.
Mm-hmm. Be made well.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we're out of time, and we will see you next week.